This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulullah ma'ad. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, my dear brothers in Islam. And inshallah, we will go through a quick journey of a year that is past and a year that is coming. And the topic for today is a new year, a new you. So I want you to imagine that you're reaching for your calendar, and for the first time, your hand does not obey you. Your fingers are trembling, your hands are shaking, and you're not reaching for the calendar the same way you've done ever before and never again. As if your hand is trying to tell you, أمهلني حتى أتوب. Give me one more chance to be able to pray before you turn the page for another day. As if it's trying to tell you, give the money back for those who you've stolen from. Give me a chance to be able to lower my gaze before I close it for the last time. Give me a chance to put my forehead to the ground before I will never be able to do so again. And give me a chance to kiss the hand of my mother, the hand that raised me, the hand that fed me, the hand that bathed me, the hand that shaded my eyes from the sun, and the hand that wiped the tears of my eyes. And give me a chance to kiss the forehead of my father where the sweat dropped from the head, to put the food on the table, clothes on my back, and the roof over my head. Give me a chance to be able to say La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah bihaqqiha, with its true path, with its full meaning. Give me a chance before the last pulse of my heart, a last blink of an eye, a last tear of the drop, and the last breath I take before I turn the page, because this could be the last day of my life. I want you to remember, a new year comes with a new lease on life. But is there a new you that comes with the new year? Or is it the same old tricks, same old friends, same old school of thought, same old tricks, same old excuses? So let's find out what it really means to you to get a new life. Every day in the morning you get a new life, and I'll give you the proof in the Quran and the Sunnah. As a matter of fact, in the end of Surah Ali Imran, where Allah subhanahu wa jalla fi ula states, إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ لَآيَاتٍ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَى جُنُوبِهِمْ وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا سُبْحَانَكَ فَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. The scholars say, in the end of Al Surah Imran, Allah subhanahu wa jalla fila giving you tangible facts to think about and ponder about the creation of the heavens and the earth. And it's telling you that the creation of the heavens and the earth and the night and the day is a sign of your own life. For every day that the sun rises and for every day that the sun sets is one page coming off your calendar. It's one day that goes away from your life, and one day you come closer to the grave. As a matter of fact, before you go to sleep, you make wudu as if you're making ghusl, because you're going to put your head on the pillow for the last time. When you wake up in the morning, you actually declare the shahada. You say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. And you say, Alhamdulillah alladhi ahyana ba'dama amatana wa ilayhi an-nushur. You declare that every day in the morning, that praise is due unto Allah that gave me life after death, and unto Him we are going to be resurrected. So I want you to look at your bed in a different manner from now on. Every time you go to your bed, I want you to think that you're going into your grave. And every time you get up from the bed, I want you to think that you're being resurrected. And every time You make up your bed, I want you to think that if I'm making my bed, how could I not be making my grave? And I will tell you how. And every time you control the room temperature, I want you to control the room of the temperature of the grave. In that case, you understand that every day comes closer to the grave. According to some of the companions, they used to say that the arrow of the angel of death is already let go. It's coming to you, la mahala. He says, musibatul maut. You know musiba means? Musiba in Arabic means a calamity, but it also means it's a target that is coming for you. It is not going to miss you. But that arrow of death has left you for today. But it's not going to miss you tomorrow. So I want you to think that every day that you come for the janazah, I want you to think that today we have washed a brother, tomorrow they're washing me. Today we have prayed the janazah of a brother, tomorrow they're praying my janazah. Today we shrouded a brother, tomorrow they're shrouding me. And today we're going to carry a brother on the shoulder, and tomorrow they're carrying me. And today we're going to bury a brother in the ground, and tomorrow they're going to bury me in the ground. Because the comparison between life and death, my brothers and sisters, are so similar, it's scary. Remember, you have collected certificates in your life. So let's go through them. When you came to this life, somebody made a noise. They're happy that you're here. When you leave this life, somebody will make a noise. They're saddened for your departure. When you came to this life, a nurse gave you a shower. When you leave this life, you will be given a shower. When you came to this life, after the nurse gave you a shower, you will be covered with a blanket. When you leave this life, after you're given the ghusl, you will be shrouded. And when you came to this life, you were giving a birth certificate. And when you're leaving this life, you will be giving a death certificate. Between them, you collect a certificate. You graduate from school, you're granted a certificate. You get a job offer, you're giving a contract, another certificate. You want to get married now, you get another contract, that's a marriage certificate. And when you meet Allah subhanahu wa jalla fi ula, you will be getting your certificate with your right hand side, ameen, wa'iyadu billah, with your left hand side. Wa'iyadu billah, we seek protection, Allah, from that. The first thing you heard when you came to this life was your father saying the adhan in your right ear. So the last word you hear is also Allahu Akbar. When the Imam is saying Allahu Akbar for your janazah. And that's why Al-Fudayl ibn Iyad radiallahu anhu, when a man said, when a man died, he says, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. He said, did you know what you just said? He says, of course, when a man dies, we say, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. He translated the meaning, but he says, Laysa kadhalik. It is not what you said. But the true meaning of Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, he says, if you were created, rest assured that you know for sure that you will die. And if you know for sure that you will die, then rest assured that you will be buried. And if you know that you will be buried, then rest assured that you will be resurrected. And if you know for sure that you will be resurrected, then you better know that you will be stopping in front of Allah. وَقِفُوهُمْ إِنَّهُمْ مَسْئُولُونَ. Stop them, they will be asked. And if you know for sure that you will meet Allah, then you better know that you will be asked the four questions. And if you know for sure that you'll be asked the questions, then you better prepare the answer for the questions. But the amazing part, my brothers and sisters, not all of us know the questions. And if you don't know the questions, then you don't know the answers. But the look at the similarities between when you're created and when you die. Again, there are four things that are written in the womb of your mother 120 days of your conception. You know what they are? Your umr, Your lifespan is guaranteed. Your rizq, your sustenance and provisions are decreed and guaranteed. Your amal, your actions in these are written. The last one is shaqiyun am sa'id, happy or sad, meaning close to the mercy of Allah or away from the mercy of Allah. Let's go on a jump of a day that is 50,000 years, where the sun leaves its orbit, comes close to your head, and people will be drenched in their sweat. لا تزول قدم عبد حتى يسأل عن أربع. Your feet will not be moved unless you answer four questions. في عمره فيما أبلاه. Your life, what have you done with it? وفي علمه فيما أفناه. And your knowledge, what have you done with it? وفي شبابه فيما أبلاه. Again, in your youth, what have you done with it? Even though the scholars will tell you that the youth is part of the umr, your lifespan, but they say they differentiate because the youth is where you make it or break it. في قوة بين ضعفين, meaning you are in a strength in between two weaknesses. The two weaknesses are your childhood and your senile years, your senior years. And that's why it's repeated again. Some of the narration says youth slash health. What have you done when you had the health? And the fourth question you will be asked on Judgment Day, وَفِي مَالِهِ مِنْ أَيْنَ اكْتَسَبَهُ وَفِيمَا أَنْفَقَهُ. Where did you get your money from and how did you spend it? And that's why Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, اغْتَنِمْ خَمْسْ قَبْلَ خَمْسْ. Take advantage of five before five. He says, when you have the time before you have none. And when you're youth before you get old. When you're healthy before you get sick. When you're rich before you get poor. And when you're alive before you die. Ajib. I want you to think, my brothers and sisters, that today is your last day on this earth. How would you feel? Are you able to meet Allah subhanahu wa jalla fi ula with what you have done? Or are you afraid to die? And if you're afraid to die, then you better ask yourself, why? Why is it exactly that I'm not able to say I am ready to meet Allah subhanahu wa jalla fi ula? Because we have closet sins that nobody knows except Allah. And we haven't prepared the palace in the paradise. We prepared everything in this life. And we don't want to leave what we have invested in that which you made abandoned and barren. And that's why some of the righteous, when they went to a city, it says, take me to the amar. Take me to the dwelling areas. He took him to the cemetery. I says, ajaban, I asked you to take me to the dwelling areas. You take me to the cemetery? He goes, yes. How come? He says, كل من هناك يأتي إلى هنا ولا أحد من هنا يعود إلى هناك فأين العمار. He says, everyone out there will come here. No way out. لا محالة. And none of them here will ever go back there. So where is the dwellings? So he says, why is it then that we are afraid of death? Because he said the same thing. لأنكم عمرتم دنياكم وخربتم أخراكم. وَلَا يُرِيدُ أَحَدٌ أَنْ يَتْرُكُ الْعَمَارُ إِلَى الْخَرَابُ. You have invested everything in this life and invested nothing in the hereafter. And nobody wants to leave everything they invested in into something they have abandoned. Let me give you the example. If you brothers here in IIUM were told that you are going to get a room that is temporary, after a week, you'll be moved again. Will you ever invest in that room that you're going to stay in for 1 week only to put the best carpet, paint it again, put the best fixture, the best lighting? La wallahi. You will not do that. So Prophet Muhammad ﷺ says, Kun fi dunya gharib aw abir sabeel. Be in this life as a wayfarer or unique person. You know what that means, akhi? When you travel, what do you get? Do you take your large screen TV? Do you take your couch with you? You don't. You take what necessitates, what you sustain your life with. The necessities. Everything that you need to sustain this journey. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling you this journey, what do you need? He says, وَتَزَوَّدُوا فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ الزَّادَ التَّقْوَى وَاتَّقُونِ يَا أُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ أُولِي النُّهَى أُولِي الْعُقُولِ. He says, الزاد. You know what the zad is? الزاد ما يحتاجه المسافر. الزاد is what the wayfarer, the traveler needs to sustain his life and to be able to finish the journey. It's called zad. So Allah subhanahu wa jalla fi ala is telling you, this journey of life, you will need a zad. And what is the best zad in this life? Allah said it's taqwa. You want to know why taqwa is number one on the list in this life? Because in the hereafter, Allah subhanahu wa jalla fi ala has already given you the answer. He's وَإِن مِّنْكُمْ إِلَّا وَارِدُهَا كَانَ عَلَىٰ رَبِّكَ حَتْمًا مَقْضِيًّا ثُمَّ نُنَجِّ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا وَنَذُرُ الظَّالِمِينَ فِيهَا جِثِيًّا. He says, every one of you, no exception, will pass over the bridge, the sirat. Beneath it is the hellfire. And who is going to be saved? Those who had taqwa. May Allah make us among the muttaqeen. You want to know why again? Because taqwa is only attained when you're all alone. You will only know when you have taqwa when you're all alone. And that's why the word taqwa is synonymous with fasting in the month of Ramadan. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Why? Because if you don't eat and drink in front of people, and you go home, and you close all the doors, and the only door you open is the door of the fridge, you don't have taqwa, akhi and ukhti. So you have to be conscious that Allah subhanahu wa jalla fi ala sees you, is with you, can hear you, can see you. So how do you make Allah as the least of your worries of those who see you and hear you? When in front of everyone in this masjid, you act like Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. But when you go home and close all the doors, nobody else sees you, you act like Abu Jahl wal-i'adhu billah. As if you're making a mockery of Allah. So if you are conscious of Allah when you're all alone, Allah will be helping you when you're all alone. When? When you die, you'll be alone. When you go in the grave, you'll be alone. When you're resurrected, you'll be alone. When you hear your name, you'll be alone. When you get your book, you will be alone. When your name is called to go to heaven and hell, you'll be alone. So be good to that you will be alone with. You will find out that you will travel. You will change your address. You will see friends come and go. You'll get married and move on. So I want you to think of a keychain. Your life is nothing but a keychain, my brothers and sisters. So every time you look at your keychain, I want you to think about it. My life is a keychain. There's a key for my house, a key for my office, a key for my car. But wallahi, you will not take these keys with you. These keys will be given to somebody else after you. Your job will be done by somebody else. The key of your office will no longer be valid. The key of your house will not work for you anymore because you have another house now. And the key for your car is no longer valid because you will not need it where you're going. And your passport is exactly the same. I remember giving a khutbah here, wallahi, a few years back, and I talked about the passport. So I won't repeat it. But I want you to remember, my brothers and sisters, and some of the righteous used to have a grave in their backyard. And some of them used to go under the bed. Says, ha anada, here I am in my grave. What do I say to Munkar wa Nakir? How do I meet Allah subhanahu wa jalla fi ula? Have I made my grave a piece of heaven or a piece of hell? Will it collapse my ribs or expand as far as my eyesight can see? Will it be furnished from heaven or hell? Will the door open to see my place in heaven or hell? Will the aroma be from heaven or hell? How did he do that? He says, I go into the grave and I will say, قَالَ رَبِّ ارْجِعُونَ حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءَ أَحْدَكُمْ مَوْتِ قَالَ رَبِّ ارْجِعُونَ. When death comes upon you, you will say, قَالَ رَبِّ ارْجِعُونَ. Oh Allah, take me back. Why? لَعَلِّي أَعْمَلْ صَالِحًا فِي مَا تَرَكْتِ. Maybe I'll have now another chance. I know the truth. فكشفنا عنك غطاءك فبصرك اليوم حديد. In Surah Qaf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling you, we have unveiled the truth. You can see the angels now. You can see what's going on. Your basar, your vision is obtuse, sharp. You can see the truth. And what did he say? He would come out of the grave again and say, Alhamdulillah, Allah give me one more chance. He would go back into the grave the following day. He will say the same thing. قَالَ رَبِّ ارْجِعُونَ. Oh Allah, take me back. And he would go for the third time. He says, اتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَوْمَ تَسْمَعُ قَالَ رَبِّ ارْجِعُونَ. And you will hear, كَلَّا. Because one day you will ask Allah to come back. And you will hear the word, كَلَّا. Nay, you will not be able to come back. So I want to give you a challenge, brothers and sisters. I want you to think about the good times that you had with a sister from another mister or a brother from another mother. You painted the town red. You went bar hopping. You went to pick up some babes. Cheat a little. Lie a bit. Steal something. Fornicate. Have illegitimate children before you get married. And so on and so forth. How long did that take of your day? How many minutes did you actually have that happiness? No, it's not happiness. There's a huge difference between pleasure, mut'a, and happiness. Huge difference. Mut'a is temporary. This pleasure is temporary. But happiness is eternal. You can never be happy here. You will never be healthy all the time. You can never be young all the time. And you can never be rich all the time. You can only do that in the hereafter. That's why your happiness, your true happiness, is when you meet Allah subhanahu wa jalla fi ula. But in this life, it's called mut'a. It's temporary pleasure. So I want to give you this challenge. No matter how much you spend in this time, it's called mut'a. It's temporary pleasure. But guess what? That pleasure will perish. But what will stay behind and be recorded on your deeds? The sins will stay behind and be recorded till Judgment Day. I want to take you to the other side. So you got up in the middle of the night and prayed two rak'at for the sake of Allah where no one else saw you. It was difficult where everybody else is doing whatever it is that they want to do. But you're standing in front of Allah, your beloved, the most one, that you know for sure that you will be standing in front of Allah on Judgment Day. Difficult indeed. But after the difficulties of Qiyamul Layl, not Niyamul Layl, Qiyamul Layl, that difficulties and the pain will also perish, will be gone. But what will stay? Your good deeds will stay on your records till Judgment Day. And that's why the righteous used to say, there are two ayat in the Quran that keep me on the straight and narrow. The first ayah, he said, قُلْ أَذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ أَمْ جَنَّةِ الْخُلْدِ الَّتِي وُعِدَ الْمُتَّقُونَ. قُلْ تَلْقِنِيَّ. Tell them, O Muhammad, is this better? Whatever you've done, whatever pleasure you were after, whatever temporary mut'a you had in mind, أَذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ. Is this better? Or Jannat al-Khuld, or the eternal pleasure of the paradise, that the muttaqoon, again the word taqwa comes back. May Allah make us among the muttaqeen, ameen. For eternal pleasure, how do you sell out the hur al-ain for hur al-teen? How do you sell your life for somebody else's life? How do you sell your deen for somebody else's dunya? How do you sell a palace for a measly life that is made of brick and mud and drywall and wood? How do you leave a palace made of silver and gold? How do you leave the neighborhood of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? How do you not want to see the magnificent face of Allah subhanahu wa jalla fi ula? How do you not want to live happily ever after, where you'll never die again, never pain again, no hunger again. You will never stay so long again. And you remember when you move, you will see different people in your life, and the consistent common denominator in your life is Allah subhanahu jalla fi ula. So how do you abandon Allah? How do you cut off the relationship between you and Allah? And that is the only relationship you have to worry about. So the other homework I'm giving you is أصلح ما بينك وبين الله يصلح الله ما بينك وبين العباد. Repair the relationship between you and the Creator. Your Creator will repair the relationship between you and His creation. The other homework is, I want you to make sure to hide your good deeds like you hide your sins. All of us want to hide our sins. I want you to hide your good deeds just like you try to hide your sins. And the other homework is, I want you to make sure that your secret life is better than your public life. So I want you to have a secret good deed that no one knows about. Not even your wife, not even your children, not even your brother or sister or mother or father. No one knows about this, because that will come on Judgment Day and testify for you. Among the seven that Allah will shade on Judgment Day with His shade except His shade, is among them Shabun. It's like a youth that were raised righteously. Shab, again, like you brothers and sisters. And a hand that gives with the right and left doesn't know, because it gives so much it can't keep it up, and it gives it in secrecy that this hand doesn't know. And when a woman comes to ask you, Hayta lak, come big boy, you say, Ma'adha Allah, Inni akhafu Allah, nay, I fear Allah. And your heart mu'allaq fil masajid. Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, في شرح صحيح البخاري فتح الباري رحمة الله عليه, he says only befitting for that, says this قلوب معلقة, this heart are hung in the masjid, because Allah says في بيوت, بيوت meaning the masajid, أذن الله بير أن ترفع, because the house of Allah are raised. So the house of Allah is raised, that means your heart has to hung, to be hung in the masjid. Choice is up to you, my brothers and sisters. The path is there. You take the one you want. But don't come back on Judgment Day and say, I don't deserve to be going to hellfire. Because you're in the driver's seat now. But rest assured, this journey you take will dictate where you end up on that journey. So on your GPS, punch in Jannah, you'll find Quran and Sunnah to guide you to Jannah. If you're going to go on the highway right here, and it says Putrajaya on one and Kuala Lumpur on the other, you want to go to Putrajaya, nicer place, cleaner, with all due respect to the people in Kuala Lumpur. It's a hustle and bustle, running after money, and so on and so forth, the whims and desires. But you have decided, you're in the driver's seat, you have decided to take the ramp that is going to take you to Kuala Lumpur. You go downtown Kuala Lumpur, says, how did I get here? Well, you have taken the path to Kuala Lumpur. You've chosen to go to this path. So if the scholars tell you, how do you choose hell over heaven? You have chosen. Because Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam told you that. He says, كل أمتي في الجنة إلا من أبى. My whole ummah is going to Jannah. May Allah make us among them, Ya Rab. Ameen. Except those who refuse. How do you refuse to go to heaven? He says, how do you refuse to go to heaven? They was asked. من أطاعني دخل الجنة ومن عصاني فقد أبى. Those who obey me, you stick to Quran and Sunnah. Walk in the footsteps of Rasulullah, you will meet them, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. من صار على الدرب وصل. If you follow the footsteps, you will meet them. Stay on the path. You ask Allah 17 times, اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. Ya Allah, guide me to the straight path. 17 times minimum a day. You ask Allah, Ya Rab, ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim, the straight path. And which path are you on, my brothers and sisters? Is this the path that will take you to Jannah, or is this the path that will take you to hellfire? What company do you keep? The company that will come and tell you, say La ilaha illallah before you die?
or the company that will take you to bars. Forget the masajid. They're just scaring you off, man. It's not the truth. Come, let's live a little. What about the environment you're in? Is it a righteous environment or otherwise? So let me give you another challenge. If you cannot say Bismillah before you do something and you say Alhamdulillah at the end of that something, don't do it. Could you imagine going to bars, taking a drink of alcohol? Do you think you can say Bismillah? Alhamdulillah. You think you can do that? Oh, you know, tayammanu, right hand, sit down, it's a sunnah, yani. And three times because that's how you do it, yes? Could you imagine taking a cigarette in your hand and say Bismillah? Alhamdulillah. You think you can do that? Allahu Akbar, ya Shaykh. So one of your challenges, if you cannot say Bismillah before you do it, and Alhamdulillah after you do it, don't do it. The other challenge is, if you don't want to die in a certain place, don't go there. And the other challenge is, if you don't want to be resurrected with certain people, don't be with them. Yes? يَوْمَ يَعَضُّ الظَّالِمُ عَلَى يَدَيْهِ يَقُولْ يَا لَيْتَنِي لَيْتَ Three letters mentioned in the Quran in a remorse, except one, with Maryam alayhi salam. Again, another topic, inshallah, we'll stick to this one. You will bite down on your hand in what? In regret, in remorse. I wish I took the path of Rasulullah. I didn't take the path of this fulan, not even worthy of mention in the Quran. Says, لَقَدْ أَضَلَّنِي عَنِ الذِّكْرِ بَعْدَ إِذْ جَاءَنِي He led me astray after the truth has come to me. So I want to give you another challenge because of the company you keep. If you have them this year, hold on to them. If you don't have them, fire them. Get a new one for next year. There are three criteria for a friend you must keep. إِذَا رَأَيْتَهُ ذَكَّرَكَ بِاللَّهِ رُؤْيَتُهُ When you see them, they remind you of Allah. Which means, if you haven't prayed yet, if you haven't prayed Maghrib yet, you see Brother Muzaffar, Allahu Akbar, I haven't prayed yet. Number two, دَلَّكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ حَالُ They will guide you to a straight path. You see the way they walk, the way they talk, the way they eat, the way they dress, the way they treat, the way they do everything in life, it's like Kukun and Quran and Sunnah. Number three, زَادَكَ إِيمَانًا مَنْطِقُ When they speak to you, they remind you of the truth about life, the truth about the hereafter, life and death, Quran and Sunnah, heaven and hell. Your iman increases. That's the three criteria, my brothers, you must have as a friend. And now, for the clincher, because the time is running. I want to give you a challenge. The last challenge and a homework I'm going to ask you to do, inshallah. Next year, inshallah, I want you to leave one sin that you're afraid to die because of. If it's your sexual desires, if it's your porn addiction, if it's your lying, if it's your cheating or your stealing, or fornicating, or bribing, or talking behind people's back, or not being good to your parents, or good to your spouse, or good to your children, or not praying anymore, or not wearing the hijab anymore, or changing your name. I want you to leave that sin, only one sin, next year you're going to leave, that you're so afraid because of. That's it. The second is, I want you to add a good deed that you haven't done yet. So you leave a bad deed that will take you to hellfire and you're afraid to die because of, and you add a good deed that will take you to Jannah that you haven't done yet. So my recommendation for you, my brothers and sisters, is Qiyamul Layl. It's Sharaf al-Mu'min. It's the honor of a true believer. It's the one that you attain taqwa because no one else sees you except Allah. So your homework is simple. Leave one sin next year that you're addicted to, you're afraid to die of, and it will take you to hellfire. Close that gate and throw away the key. Never going back. I am not going to be a slave of shaitan, but I will be a slave of Ar-Rahman. So I'm going to add one good deed that will take me to Jannah. Even one good deed that is sincere for the sake of Allah, that Allah will accept. That's your homework. Too much to ask? You want to call a friend? You want to get a lawyer? Well, you know what? The adhan will seal it for you. That beautiful adhan that you heard, mashallah, tabarakallah, beautiful recitation. Let's go through it quickly and we'll seal it with this, inshallah. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. You know what that means, brothers and sisters? You're saying Allahu Akbar. By the way, the translation Allah is the greatest is wrong. You understand? When you translate the word Allahu Akbar to Allah is the greatest is wrong, brothers and sisters. Allahu Akbar actually means Allah is greater. And it's done on purpose. You know why? It's mubham. It's indefinite. Because you're saying Allahu Akbar. Then you say, you ask yourself, Allahu Akbar, greater than what? That's exactly what you should be thinking. Allah is greater than what? Greater than everything. Greater than your boss. Greater than the money. Greater than the business. Greater than your school. Greater than your job. Greater than your spouse. Greater than your children. When you say Allahu Akbar, mean it. And the adhan is reminding you 5 times a day, Allahu Akbar. Remember, it's the first word you heard in your right ear by your father when you were born. And it's the last word you will hear on your way out, Allahu Akbar. With your janazah. There is no iqama, akhi. And it's repeated again. Like you repeat the word Allahu Akbar every time you move in prayer. It's repeated the most in the adhan. 4 times. And if you haven't heard it, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding you. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Really? You bear witness that there's no deity except Allah deserving to be worshipped? But your actions and deeds don't reflect ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, ya akhi. How could you be of the ummah of ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah? If Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes to you right now, will he know you are his ummah? Will he intercede for you on judgment day? Will he say, suhqan suhqan liman baddala wa ghayyar, get away from me, I know you not. You change and exchange this deen. If he comes right now, will you change the chat that you're talking to that other person? Will you change the channel of what you're watching? Will you minimize the screen on your laptop? Will you change what you're wearing? Will you change what you're eating? Or will you change what you're drinking? Will you change the friends that you keep? Or change the place that you're in? Challenges. You have to make it. So you hear the word Allahu Akbar and you ask yourself, is Allahu Akbar? Is Allah greater? Or my whims and desires are greater? Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. The heaviest thing on the scale on judgment day. Biha nahya wa namut. We live and die by it. If not, is this the ummah where that adhan says, ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah? Really? Do you follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And if you don't get it, bluntly says, hayya ala salah. Come to prayer. Because no, I want to make money. He says, hayya ala falah. This is the falah, the success. Then he repeats it again, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah. No deity except Allah, deserving to be worshipped. And that's why the 8/3, brothers and sisters, is the proof of your iman. قُلْ تَلْقِنِيَّ قُلْ Tell them, O Muhammad. قُلْ إِنْ كَانَ آبَاءَكُمْ وَأَبْنَاءُكُمْ وَأَخْوَانُكُمْ وَأَزْوَاجُكُمْ وَعَشِيرَتُكُمْ وَأَمْوَالًا اقْتَرَفْتُمُوهَا تِجَارًا تَخْشَوْنَ كَسَادَهَا وَمَسَاكِنْ تَرْضَوْنَهَا. That's your 8.
أحب إليكم من الله ورسوله وجهاد في سبيله.
Tell them, O Muhammad, if your fathers, al-abu wa in ala wa al-ibnu wa indana, mean your fathers and upwards, you're boasting about your lineage, and I've been to Tartushi Basha, ya Basha. I come from this lineage, don't you know who I am? Don't mess with me, man, I can lock you up. I know people.
وَالْإِبْنُ وَإِنْدَنَا
I have so much lineage. Look, I'm powerful. And the brethren, the hood, homies.
And then Azwaj, you know, I'm married to this family now because I have a... be careful. Yeah, I'll sue you.
And Ashira, tribe, the isms. You know, I can't marry you. I can't give you my daughter hand in marriage because you're not from our tribe. You know, your skin shade is slightly darker than ours. You know, we live in the north, and you apparently, sadly, you live in the south. Really? Allah help you, Shaykh, wallahi. Tribalism. And amwal, iqtaraftumuha, you're hoarding this money. And tijara,
your businesses. And lastly, masakin tardawnaha, your home, the dwellings that you hold on. More beloved to you than Allah subhanahu wa jalla fiulah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and jihad, striving for the sake of Allah. Everything is halal, brothers. The eight are halal, but they become ahead of Allah subhanahu wa jalla fiulah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and striving for his sake, it becomes a sin. Do you believe it? A choice is up to you. With this, I ask Allah subhanahu wa jalla fiulah to make us among those who listen to speech and follow the best of it, and make us among those who are muttaqeen. Ameen. Wa akhir da'wana. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallam ala alihi wa sahbihi wa tabi'een. Jazakumullah anna khaira. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.